When it comes to getting after the drug crisis, one that is absolutely killing scores of folks who we could help, it's all about getting them treatment. It's making sure that they see some kind of relief to the underlying condition that's leading them to crime, leading them to a life of homelessness. It's that drug addiction. Joining me on the line is a lawmaker who has helped make that a reality in certain circumstances. Joining me on the line, State Senator Chris Gildon, the Republican from Puyallup. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me again.
So you've got a bill. Somehow you got it to get signed into law at a time where the legislative session was very hostile, it seems, to Republican bills. Take us through 5502.
Well, so 5502 deals with persons who are being released out of the Department of Corrections custody into the community early, so before that their sentence is fully committed. A few years ago, the legislature enacted the program called graduated reentry that allows them to do a portion of the end of their sentence in a community setting. And the Department of Corrections also sends out a report every time that someone under their custody passes away. And I read every one of those. And what I've noticed was a bit of a pattern over the year is I noticed that there were a number of people who were going to this graduated reentry program who had not received any type of substance use disorder treatment, and then they passed away within just a short time after being released into the community from drug overdose. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, we've got to do something about that because people are dying. And so this particular bill does a number of things. Number one is it requires the Department of Corrections to do an assessment for everyone being released to see if they have a drug disorder. And it requires the Department of Corrections to help get them into appropriate treatment if they do have a disorder. And then it also requires some reporting requirements and some other things. But the bottom line is, what it really tries to do is to help people who are releasing early, because whenever they're in prison, supposedly, ideally, they're not using drugs.
Well,
and then a lot of them, they release back into the community and they start using again mm-hmm. at the level that they previously used at, and their tolerance is low and they're dying of overdose.
Yeah.
And so we're really trying to prevent that.
Well, the thing is, a lot of prisoners are gaining access to drugs still. They're being smuggled in. You had an incident just last week where 7 inmates over in Snohomish County ended up being sent to the hospital with suspected overdose. We've seen similar circumstances across the state. I know Whatcom County about a month and a half ago or so. And so, you know, when you're not getting these people the treatment that they need just because they're in jail doesn't mean they're going to just simply detox, then move on. It's not that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I don't think that this particular bill is perfect. I'm really glad that it passed, and I think it's going to make a big difference. Not only in preventing people from overdosing, but also in preventing them from, you know, returning back to a life of crime to mm-hmm. feed their drug habit, which is what we don't want. We want to get ahead of that. But ideally, we could get to a place where the Department of Corrections would start that rehabilitative programming on day one when the person is entered into custody. I think that would be ideal. But we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. Why aren't we there?
Well, I think some of it has to do with cost. I think some of it has to do with
ideology.
Just the ideology. And I think those are probably the two main barriers. You know, if I were king for a day, I would make rehabilitation job one mm-hmm. of the Department of Corrections so that people, while they're in prison, while they're in the custody of the state, they get all of the knowledge, the skills, and the abilities that they need for success when they eventually release back into the community, because we don't want them to recidivate. We don't want them to return to a life of crime. But we know right now that an overwhelming majority of them do.
They do. Why do you think there seems to be – I mean, it seems that the policy now coming from some folks on the left, certainly it seems like a majority of – Washington Democrats who are serving, that they would rather just release criminals from jail or keep them out rather than rehabilitate them while they're incarcerated. Why do you think there's that shift? Or am I crazy? That's what it seems like.
No, and I think it goes a little further than that, Jason. It's I think that there are a number of legislators who feel that putting people in jail is immoral, it's wrong, that it's not something that society should do, that we should focus all of our efforts on rehabilitation and zero of our efforts on incarceration. So there are some ideological, differences that we have with certain members of the legislature. But I kind of personally think that we've got to have that balance of, yes, if you've committed a crime and you've been convicted and you've been sentenced, there's a penalty that you need mm-hmm. to pay. But while you're in the state's custody, I think the state has a responsibility to ensure that you have some of the skills and the knowledge that you need so that you don't return to a life of crime when you're eventually released.
Yeah, and this has nothing necessarily to do, or at least not exclusively about drug use, right? I mean, this is just in a general sense that, you're being put in jail. We know that being put in jail, once you're released, your life is going to be a little bit more difficult getting on the right track. It is harder to get a job. It is harder to find housing. That's part of the consequences of, violating our societal rules and harming other people. But we don't have to make it harder on these folks. We can make it easier by giving them access to, whatever program they might need in order to better their lives, right? I mean, we have an ethical obligation if we're going to punish people and they do want to get better, whether that means drug addiction or literally anything else, I think it's on us to help.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really happy to get some money allocated in the budget for the Washington State Institute of Public Policy to do, number one, to take an inventory of all of the rehabilitative programs that are available in our prisons. And then number two, do a study to see which ones actually have an effect at reducing recidivism. So the idea is, number one, we get the inventory so we know what programs are actually mm-hmm. being offered. Number two, we see which ones are most effective, which ones are least effective. And then later, once we get the results of the study back, we can funnel dollars to the programs that work and not send dollars to the programs that don't work.
State Senator Chris Gildon joining me on the line, Republican from Puyallup. As it relates back to the drug issue, the drug bill that criminalizes drug possession, drug use, I spoke last week with State Representative Jim Walsh of Aberdeen. He doesn't think the bill goes far enough. He's not necessarily a fan of it. It's better than nothing, obviously. But what say you? Are you in the camp of this was the best we can do, let's live with it for now? Or are you in the camp of we really dropped the ball on this and didn't go far enough?
No, well, it's amazing how bills change throughout the legislative process. So the bill that I originally submitted said that the Department of Corrections could not release anyone until they were enrolled in services if they had a substance use disorder. Yeah. That was a little too far for the majority party to go with. And so this is where we landed. I think it's better than nothing. I don't think it's perfect. And like I said, I really think that all of these programming, these rehabilitative programs, should start from day one of incarceration. And we should not be waiting until they're being released into the community to begin those programs of rehabilitation.
Did the Democrats tell you why that was too much, too far, I guess, to the right, even though I don't think that this is seen by virtually anyone as a political issue?
No, and I think it just goes back to what we said a moment ago, that there are certain people with ideological differences. They don't want to send additional dollars to the Department of Corrections for programming or for any other purpose because they would prefer to basically shut down the Department of Corrections and not incarcerate anyone.
Well, this is the defund movement, which they're doing it in a different way, right? I mean, they're just going the abolitionist route. They can claim that they don't hold those views, but I think it's pretty clear when you take away programs that actually help people or prevent dollars to go there because you want to see the DOC basically be shut down, when you, rather than cut funding to police, you just cut their responsibilities, the end result is virtually the same.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've always said, there's basically three links in the chain of criminal justice. Is one, you've got the police officers who enforce the law. We've seen numerous attempts to try to handcuff the police and limit their ability to do their jobs. Next, you've got the prosecutors in the courts who, determine guilt or innocence and determine sentences. But then you've got the Department of Corrections, which houses prisoners. And we've seen through programs like the graduated reentry programs and others where there's a real push to reduce the sentences for criminal behavior. And so what you're seeing is a push on all fronts from those people who, you know, prefer zero incarceration. Mm-hmm. They're trying to reduce penalties at all stages of that chain.
It's absolute madness. I mean, it really is madness. Last question for you. What is the plan going into the next legislative session? Obviously, we don't know what the political atmosphere will be like. You certainly have agenda items, but when you're so outmanned as far as just the numbers in the Senate and the House, what is the plan?
Well, we'll see where we land. I think that we ended this legislative session with a few good successes. You know, in the Senate, we were able to bring up the police pursuit bill and actually keep that alive. Like we said, you know, it was a half step forward, but it was necessary. We were able to keep the Blake bill with drug possession alive and actually come out with a bipartisan solution, which everybody is not in love with, but at least it's something that's workable that doesn't allow drugs to be just legal in our state. So I think we're coming out of this legislative session with a few successes, along with 5502, which I passed. And so we'll see where we go this next legislative session. It seems like perhaps some of those more extreme left-wing voices are being drowned out by people with a little bit more sense, I think. And we'll see if that continues through the next session or not.
Well, let's hope they continue to be not just drowned out, but then eventually booted from office. We've been talking with State Senator Chris Gildon of Puyallup. Thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jason.